and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks Radio. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and I'm so excited that you're joining us today. We are going to have a fascinating conversation, as usual, as we learn from people all around the world at all ages and stages of life. Stay tuned as we shift our dementia care from crisis to comfort.
Here we go. What you think about?
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Alzheimer's Speaks. I'm your host, Lori LeBay, and today we're going to have a lot of fun with a good friend and colleague of mine, Loretta Woodward Benny, and she is a Lego master. And we are just, like I said, this will be a really joyful, fun conversation. But before I introduce you to Loretta, I always like to give a couple of shout outs. So one I want to give to a company by the name of Twiddle. And Twiddle has a lot of wonderful resources for you that are sensory tools that can really calm somebody down, especially if they're going through sundowning. They can help you stay calmer as a care partner, both if you're family or a friend or a professional. It's just one of those things that can help us all out. They also have a product called Adapt-A-Wrap, which is a wonderful, wonderful piece of clothing where you don't have to put it on over the head. Sometimes the people don't understand what you're doing and why are you contorting their body the way you are. As the disease progresses, that can get really complicated, or it can hurt. It can be painful too with joints and not being as mobile as we used to. So you can go to their website, which is the number 4 and then twiddles, that's plural, .com. I would also encourage you to check out Lorenzo's House. Every year they do this youth summit, and that is coming up on June 14th and 15th. And you can just go to their website to register and learn more at lorenzoshouse.org. It's a fantastic event for all ages of kids to young adults. So please, please don't overlook that. I think you'll find it very helpful. I also want to give a plug for our book, Betty the Bald Chicken, Lessons in How to Care. You can find that on alzheimerspeaks.com. We also have one whole section of free educational resources as well. So please don't miss out on that. With no further ado, let's introduce you to Loretta. So Loretta, I am so thankful that I met you in Woodbury when you came to speak at Artists that one time, and that we've remained friends and colleagues since then. And I'm so excited to have you on the show. You are doing such amazing work. So I'm going to have you kind of introduce yourself to my audience, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, I love being on this show. So thank you for having me. And I tell you, wow, what a journey. It just, still is in the forefront of my mind all the time. So I think even when you finish caregiving, you know, you're still in that lifestyle. And so in 2006, my mom, Doris, was diagnosed with dementia. And we spent the next 16 years navigating it. I love that term. I love that term. And we chose to navigate it with joy. And so, yeah, there were a lot of lows, of course. It's dementia. How could there not be lows? But the fact that we chose joy really did set a good stage for us. And my mom really bought into it. I would say as a teenager, she, you know, I would say now I would know she was depressed. And so she really hung on to when I said, well, we're going to have joy every day. She said, okay. And what's so funny about that is that she recognized whenever we played a game or threw a ball or whatever we did, she would say, that was our joy. And I would say, yeah. So she really understood it and embraced it. And so, you know, who knew at the time we were really creating a legacy that I continue to, you know, sort of, use every single day, and then just to help others find joy in the same way that we did. So she's gone, been, you know, she passed on January 31st of 2022. And And it was, and I'm sure you know this too. It's almost like she's still here because there's so many memories every single place I look. And I know she's with me as I go around the country and literally now around the world to share our message of, joy and this whole Lego brick thing. And it's been amazing. So I think she'd be very proud of the work that she left behind and that I continue.
It has been so fun to watch you. And, not only are you an inspirational speaker, you're an author of a few books, and now you've stepped into this Lego space that has just elevated things. And I think it just takes people, off, kind of off the charts because they're not expecting, I think, what
Yes.
they get and what they learn
Yeah.
from the experience that you're giving them with Legos. So
Yeah.
let's talk first about your favorite story of using Lego bricks and what pulled you into thinking this will be good for people. How did all that happen? Maybe we should start there in the beginning,
I know. I know. Well, the beginning of the beginning was, Lego had been in my life since the time I was 5. That was the year my mom got me my first set of bricks. Now, as you know, there, you have grandkids and all that. So, everybody rushes to the store to get the new set and the new set and the building the big Star Wars thing or the astronaut thing or the, whatever thing. And my mother chose sort of the opposite. They make a box called classic bricks. So just a variety of different bricks thrown in this box. And some of them have themes and some of them don't. And back then they only had a few colors of bricks. Now they have, tons of colors that you can choose from. And so she taught us that, we didn't need instructions. She wanted us to use our imagination to build whatever we wanted. And we believed, she told us that we could be whatever we wanted and build whatever we wanted. And we did that. And so we were so used to doing that that it just stuck when dementia came into our lives. As a matter of fact, one of the most, I think, amazing things that happened was when she was trying to express herself about how she felt about her diagnosis. I asked her to build how she felt, which was something we had always done. And she took the head off the little Lego person and she said, I feel like in a few years I'm going to lose my head. And when I put that on social media, people just went crazy. And, I would say that kind of was a launching point for us, because I not only knew, I was aware of this Lego Serious Play thing. It was just starting to sort of meld into what it is today. And I had been, I said, well, let me just watch it and see what happens. And I would just keep going with the Lego the way we had been doing it. So it just kind of took off. Once the degree started to progress, I just continued to give her some of the same challenges I had give her. Build, your favorite memory from high school. Yay. And then she would come up with some crazy story I had never heard. You're like, wow, you remember that. So it was just amazing from there. But I think in the I was certified in 2014 by one of the creators of Lego Serious Play, Robert Rasmussen. And he was a former Lego employee who sort of spun off to do this sort of at their request. He and another gentleman, Per Christensen, and they together created this thing. And because it was working for my mom, I knew it would work for other people. So, you know me, Delores. So I picked up the phone and started calling people. Hey, I got this thing, If you have folks with dementia there, let's see what kind of things they could build. People are like, okay. I mean, I guess you figure what do we have to lose? So we just kind of did that. So to answer your question, the first, probably, I mean, most meaningful session outside of with my own mother was 2017 here in the state of Maryland, about 20 minutes from my house as a continuing care community called Collington. And I was just going to build, I suggest we do like some Lego play art kind of thing. And I would give them some tasks to do. And the activity coordinator was like, yeah, sure, that sounds like fun. And so they were pretty late stage folks in this room. And they were like, yay, when they started coming, I pulled all the Lego bricks out and we start to build. And I asked them to, sort of build what brought them joy. And that's one of the things I asked them to build a lot. And They were all building. I was surprised at how focused they were. They had the same focus on the bricks like my mom. And, I was cheering for everything they put together. It was just two pieces. I was cheering. And so I noticed this woman sitting right in the center of the table. She built this thing, and it was maybe 12 or 15 bricks. And I'm looking at it, and I was like, I noticed right it's upside down. And I'm never one to correct anybody, but I do say to her, "Wow, look at yours. It's so exciting. It's upside down." And she looks at me, very exasperated that I don't understand why it's upside down. So she says, "Well, of course it's upside down. It's just like my brain."
Wow.
And I remember standing there, and then I found out later. First of all, I was told not so much that she was nonverbal, but that she rarely said anything, and she said an entire sentence. People were hugging and high-fiving, and some people were crying. And then she said, "What else would it be?" Something like that. She added another sentence. What was interesting was what I found out later, and that was that for 30 some years, she had taught physics or some science or something, oh my God, at the University of Maryland. And so she clearly understood that something had disconnected in her brain, and that is how she chose to show it. Right then, I knew this was going to be a powerful tool, no matter how far into the disease they were, because people would say, "Well, of course your mother could do it. Y'all have been doing it your whole life, pretty much." And so my mother just had to learn one more thing: tell your story about what you built. These folks, I didn't know them from Adam, had never seen them, never worked with them, never been there. I had been there before, but I have friends that live there. So I had never worked with anybody there. So this is a first time outing. I'm with these folks, and this woman has this dramatic thing. And that was just the open door for me. I'm like, okay, this is a thing. And everybody else's reaction to her statement was the same as mine. And so it was just, yeah, it was crazy. And so it just took off from there. I knew I was doing something that could be really great. And especially for families. If you were related to her, I was overwhelmed and I didn't even know her. Imagine if her family had been there. And we've had some of those experiences where all families building together, and all of a sudden, somebody starts talking about some story that the rest of the family doesn't even know. And you're like, so there have been a lot of those moments. And I have to say, Lori, I think one of the most challenging things of this part of what I do is not to cry doing the session, kind of thing. I think that's the big thing.
But your personality, I mean, you are full of joy. You are so accepting. You make a room that can be tense comfortable in seconds just because of who you are at your core. And especially in this day and age, that is really hard to find. That is really, really hard to find. And you can
I
talk
appreciate it.
to anyone who has been diagnosed with dementia, they don't feel accepted. They don't feel worthy. They don't feel purposeful because there's so much stigma out there that this is the beginning of the end. And that's how people they can't
It
learn
is
anything.
really not.
And your story about the woman to me says, I spoke because I was heard. Because I knew she really wanted to know. She was engaged. She listening to me. And a lot of times we have questions, but we don't really listen to people. And so
That's
I think
correct.
it's the environment that you have, it's the creativity of no matter what you do, it's right because it's yours.
That's so cool, because you just said the entire Lego series play philosophy. And here's the definition. So when one of the creators, one of the academicians who created this thing, he worked with the people who used to work for Lego and all these other academicians, and they sat in a room to create this whole thing that became Lego Serious Play. And so when I went to this conference in Denmark, last October, he was going around. His name is Johann Roos, and he was going around meeting facilitators he did not know. So he sees me. He says, "Hello." Everybody's wearing a Lego name tag. So, "Hello, Loretta. Tell me how you use Lego Serious Play." And I said, "Well, I use it with people with dementia and their care partners." He says, "Repeat that." I repeat it. And he says, "What would make you do that? And he said, do you have pictures of you doing that?" I was like, "Yes, sir." He said, "Let me see some pictures." I get out my portfolio, I show all these pictures, and he is just staring at the pictures. He's talking to other, he calls other people over, people that I'm the only person in the room doing it. There were almost 300 people at this conference, only less than 10 of us from the United States. And so he is looking at me like, "Oh my God." And he said, "Why would you do that?" And you just nailed it a minute ago, Lori. You said she felt listened to. She asked me a question. I built this thing and I told my story like Loretta asked me to. She was listening. So Lego Serious Play was created so that all voices are heard and that everyone is included. That's the whole premise of it. You build something and then you tell your little story of what you built. And even with dementia, if they forget the story halfway through, we clap anyway. And so, it's just like, and you also said, there's no right or wrong way. And that's so true. So it's all based on metaphor. So whenever you are building whatever it is, there's no way to screw it up because there's no right or wrong answer. It's your story, your build, and you tell it. So I go a lot of places, especially if I'm working with staffs, and people say, "Loretta, I've been here 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and nobody has ever once asked me what I thought." Because a lot of time, if I'm working with staffs, I will say, "If you was the power of B or the leader for the day, and you could add or change one thing to make this work environment even better, what would it be?" And we go around that room, and sometimes it's the, lowest level person in the room who has the best answer. And as long as we're listening, we can do it. Well, why, when people say, "Well, why would you think to do that with people with dementia?" Well, it doesn't say, it ensures that all voices are heard except people with dementia. It doesn't say that. And so I did it.
I just think of for psychologists, I remember with my granddaughter, we tried to get her into a psychologist when she was 5. She had a real difficult history. And we couldn't get her in younger because the psychologist said, well, we can't work with them. They're too young. And
Oh, okay.
we found a play therapist.
Yes.
But I think, oh my gosh, every one of them should have this. I mean, they have all kinds of toys and things and they have Legos in there, but I just
Yes.
think it's so brilliant. And it goes back to your mom saying, we're just using the basics.
Yeah, so we're gonna do. We're not gonna build that plane, train, automobile. We're gonna just build whatever. And I built little robots before robots were popular, kind of thing. And it was just amazing. And sometimes, it wasn't really anything. It was just some art. And I remember her. We were all like, we live in D.C., so we were always at the Smithsonian. And so I would see something at one of the Smithsonian museums, and I would go back home and try to build it. And so, yeah, it was just all about the creativity. And so that's really what I try to take on the road with me. Let other people add their version of creativity to, what I'm bringing to their senior center or memory care community or, wherever they are. And I
Like
think that's important.
the blend of the creativity and the emotion, like this is
Yes.
right, just to be able
Yeah.
to get that out and be able to say it in a different way to really be heard.
Yes.
And I heard you say your mom said, well, show me how you're feeling through your build, and then you use that with her too.
I did. And it is amazing. And what I learned and what I share with other families right off the bat is that, it's not that I'm drug averse, but Lego was our drug. And so one of the things I learned early on was that, when they start to forget and they're trying to say this word, water bottle, and she can't think of that. And yeah, no, you know that thing right there. You know what I'm talking about. And they get so frustrated because they can't find the word. So instead of me saying water bottle, whenever I would give her two Lego bricks or so, and she would click them together and then calm down, and then she would say water bottle. And so if we just waited a minute and let her try to come to it. And so Lego really did solve in the car. She had a lot of anxiety. Oh, wait, what's that car? And but whenever I gave her one of my little fidget toys out of Lego, this is what I made for to keep her busy in the car. And I had all kinds of other little things. And she wouldn't pay attention to the traffic. She would just focus on the little colors in her little thing. And she was happy as a clam. And so that's how we dealt with some of the different issues. And even some people whose families would tell me they have really interesting behavioral kind of challenges, especially when sundowning was involved. And then, I said, well, Lego doesn't work for anybody, everybody, but try it. And 9 times out of 10, they were like, wow. They settled right down. They were very interested in putting the pieces together. And so, it just wasn't just my mom. It was just a lot of other people as well.
That's interesting. They did a dementia chats this morning, and Lori Shear was on, and she's living with dementia. And we were talking about, Zoom and how important it is to see body language and be able to read
Yes.
those types of things.
Yes.
And she's and it was hilarious because she said, "I look calm," she says, "but none of you see my stress rag." And she had a little towel, and she has it on her lap, and
Yes.
she twists it. And again, that's what Legos can do. That's what all these fidget
Mm-hmm.
toys can do, is release
Yeah.
to bring that calm. And I think we've forgotten about all of that. And I think we've forgotten about the levels of anxiety that have built up, or, with dementia, how they can't process, how do I release that?
Right.
So we have to give them other avenues to be able to do that.
That's so true.
It's just fascinating. Have you found an age range? I mean, you did this as a kid, and
Yes.
you're dealing with seniors now, I would say
Yes.
primarily, most likely. But you're also dealing with families. Have you found any age that doesn't like this?
No. Such a great question. So when my mom died, my niece came over with her two kids, and we on my mom's birth on what would have been my mom's 93rd birthday, so 2 weeks after she died, made this big party and we did the Lego thing. They had never done it with me. And at the time, her daughter was four-ish. And I was trying to explain metaphors so they could, build their thing and tell their story. And I was going to build, what they love most about their grandma. And when I got to I was trying to break down what a metaphor was and what they were going to be building. And my great niece says, got it, Auntie Loretta, let's move on. And so she built this amazing thing and told her little story. And then when I tried to cut her off as she was telling her little story or whatever she built, she says, I'm not done, Aunt Loretta. And she kept right on going, like, oh Lord. And so, that was the end of the spectrum. But just recently, within the last year, one of my favorite physical therapists in the world, well, invited me to her family fellowship night, where every Friday night the parents would come over, her parents would come over, and they would all do some sort of activity. And I guess they took turns planning it. And she asked me to do the Lego Serious Play for them as a family. They had lost two of their matriarchs of the family, and they wanted to teach the kids legacy. And that little girl was three-ish. And then they had a son who was six or so. And those children built stuff you wouldn't believe. It was crazy. And then the parents, built, and then the grandparents. It was amazing. And what was really, really, really funny, just to show you how kids process things, the very next day, it was a Saturday morning, the very next day, the boy gets up. And he's, like I said, six or so at the time. So he calls everybody downstairs. He takes his Lego bag out that I had given them the night before. He says, all right, now today we're going to build what we're going to do for today. And she sends me a text and says, come over here and get him. And he kept trying to play. And then just like a few weeks ago, she put on Facebook, her daughter had built something else. And she's telling the story. She said, I want you to see how far she's come. And there's a video of her telling her little Lego story. It was priceless. And so I'm loving watching them grow and organize it, because I taught them, you can set your goals with Lego bricks and be what you want to be. And so he was like, what are we going to plan for today? I was like, oh my gosh. And then I've had the other end of the spectrum. I went to a center in straight from Denmark. I went to Seattle. And in one of those Seattle senior centers, I got there early. I got to have lunch with the crew before we started building, some of the nicest seniors ever. And they had no idea why I was there at first. And so we having lunch, we having a good old time. Nobody says how old they are or anything. So now it's Lego time. We get the Lego bricks out and we're building and people are standing up and telling their story and everybody's clapping. And then when it's over, the guy that brought me there says, "So how old do you think Miss Claudia was?" I'm like, I have no idea. She looked 70 some, maybe. She was like 99, 99. I was like, and she could tell her story with the best of them. I mean, she was absolutely cognitively firing on all cylinders, and so she was a man. There were some people in that room who were not, but they told their stories as well. But I was shocked at both her dexterity and what she was able to put together. I do have Duplo bricks as well, which are the larger ones. My mother had both. My mother never had any arthritis because we had been doing a whole lot. So my mother's dexterity was always good. So she didn't need them. But especially when she went into hospice, it was easiest for us to find the big bricks in the bed because they were everywhere. And so, but she didn't have to have them. And so I have both available when I know who the audience is. But that 99-year-old woman, she didn't need a thing. And some of them, this month, these last 2 months alone, I have had 90-plus-year-olds who had never touched a Lego brick before our session. And that was one of the most inspiring things.
I also want to introduce you all to Cube Locks. They have been absolutely excellent to deal with. They have been in business for 18 years and they serve the globe. I can't say enough good things about this company. I've had a lot of bad experiences. I don't know about you with tech companies. They have made a very complicated process very easy. And their staff is so kind, so polite, so respectful to work with. And, when I am frustrated and ready to pull my hair out, they just smile and tell me everything's going to be okay. And they really are just on top of the communication, which alleviates so much stress as an owner when you're dealing with tech issues. You can get a 10% discount. Visit them at Qblocks at CUE. Blocks.com, or you can email them at letstalk@qblocks.com. For that 10% discount, just put Lori, Lori, in the inquiry form. And again, I don't think you'll be disappointed. I surely haven't been. I can't rave enough about this company. And that's kind of rare these days.
Things.
When you were talking about the kids, I was like taking notes of why
Yes.
I think this was so important for them to learn from you. And I put down because it releases anxiety,
Yes.
it showcases their creativity, and it
It
opens
does.
up communication to allow people to be heard and to be seen. And I think especially with
Yes.
sometimes we are so busy, we aren't paying specific attention to them.
And they felt really heard. What was I thought was so amazing about the 3-year-old and 6-year-old and my niece's daughter too was that they listened to every story too. Because you figure if you got more than 6, 7 people in the room, they're gonna get bored after the third story. They're looking at everybody's thing because you're supposed to be, you're not just, well, my story was about, you're supposed to be illustrating. So you're holding it up like this. Well, I really love what I do for a living. So I try to focus on other people's goals. And I make sure they see the light of day, whatever. I mean, whatever. And so you're supposed to point to the person. So here's what I love about it. When, because you mentioned if you're in a tough environment with a lot of tension, Lego can diffuse all that because, especially if you're doing it online, you holding it up like this and nobody's looking at what your hair looked like, what you got on. They're all focused on this thing. Oh, look at that. Oh, everybody's doing this. And so this is the star of the show. I don't care if your hair's cut off or whatever. And so, but in the room, it's the same. I could show you 100 pictures where the person's holding it up, and I have a little Lego pointer. You can see the little when you point to the thing. And nobody's looking at you. They all looking at the thing. Oh, yeah, I see what she's talking about. And so Even if it's a tough subject, we work with some staffs where maybe everybody's not pulling their own weight. And when Gloria gets up to talk about why she can't do her job effectively because somebody over here isn't doing whatever it is she needs before she can do her job, you might know she's talking about you, but now you see it differently. Now you see this big gap between this and this because somebody's not doing their job right. So now you're like, oh, I probably should do my job so she could. So now you're looking at the thing like, wow, that's a big gap right there. No wonder she can't do whatever. So now you see her differently. And so it does, it can take all the personality out. Because even if they say to you, Lori, you're not doing your job. You're like, what? You get all defensive. But then if I hold up this thing and I put this much space between those two things, like, well, I can't get there from here because I need you to do this part right here. And you're like, oh, now you see it differently. And so and it's just like that with families with people with dementia. They stopped listening to you 4 years ago when you were diagnosed because they think you ain't got nothing else to contribute. So now when you listen to their story of the house they grew up in 1939 or 6 weeks ago, I'm sure you saw it on Facebook. I was in on the Eastern Shore, and somebody in one of this amazing gentleman had worked on both the space shuttle and the Apollo missions. He was like one of the last people to screw in a nut or something. And they had worked with him for years and never knew that story. People were like, oh my God. And it was confirmed with his children that that was his job. And he built this little rocket thing. You're like, wow. And so all we have to do is listen to their stories.
The other thing you said, like with the gap with between the two employees, now
Yes.
the employee who wasn't pulling their weight views the other person differently. But I think even more importantly, they now have to look introspectively
They do.
of, oh,
Absolutely.
my actions do
Impact the rest of the group. That's correct.
yep. And I think we live in
It's
this,
an amazing.
we live in this world nowadays where it doesn't make any difference what I do. That's my business. It's not your business. It's not affecting you. And there's a lot of
But
mentality
it does.
there. The last thing I wrote down was the group engagement. It builds pride, purpose, and inclusion.
Yes.
And
Yes.
it just takes people, I think, it by surprise what they're going to gain out
It
of it
does.
because they're just playing. It's just they're just playing, but
Yes.
they don't understand how much play helps us grow as individuals and how it can ignite that creativity, which I think so often in the world we live in is shut down. We're not allowed to be creative.
Yes.
It's follow the
Yes.
past, follow the rules. We don't need your opinion, just do the job.
Just do the thing.
Yep. And I think as a care partner, we can get into that role too of being so task oriented. I know with my
Yes.
mom, she taught me to play again because as an adult, I didn't do that well. I was too busy being important, and it was like, oh my gosh. And I remember her looking at me, and this was early on in her disease. She lived with it for 30 years. She's like, Laura, you can really turn the pager off. The world will remain intact. You can
You
deal
still keep
with
going. Yeah.
it.
That's hard though. Yeah.
It is. And I sold real estate, and so I always wanted to be there for people all the time. And so, but she allowed me to just be at peace and in the moment. And that was such a huge, huge gift. For anyone
That is huge.
who is just tuning into us right now, we are talking with Loretta Woodward Venny, and she is the founder of Loretta Venny Inspires. And my gosh, does she do that? She is a phenomenal speaker, an author. She's a certified Lego Serious Play facilitator, which is really what we've been focusing on today. You can find out more about her on her website, LorettaVenny.com. You can email her as well. She's on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram, and we'll have all this information in the show notes for you. But easy to find, easy to reach, easy to talk
Yes.
to, and you won't ever regret reaching out to this woman because you're going to feel better after you do because she is just filled with the passion that you're seeing today on the show. Before we go back to our questions, I always like to just offer support to our listeners. I do a memory
Yes.
cafe, Arthur's Memory Cafe, the second and fourth Wednesday of the month, which is virtual. And we have somebody from Belgium. I'm in Minnesota. That's where our primary group is, but we have people from Florida and New Jersey. Someone just called the other day from Texas. Anyone is welcome
Wow.
to reach out to me. Or if you're in Minnesota, I work with the Shoreview Community Center and we do a caregiver program that meets the last Wednesday of each month from 10 to 11:30, and we also have respite there. And we're really excited to be doing that. In fact, in April, we're going to be going to a museum and checking that out. And we're going to do it just for the caregivers because it's one that's kind of elusive. We thought it might be
Oh,
confusing for
yeah.
people with dementia, but in the future, we're looking at being able to bring everyone there. So,
That's amazing.
yeah, but let's get back to you. So, one, who hires you? I see you on LinkedIn. I mean, I couldn't even put the dots on the map fast enough. I mean, you are just traveling all over the place.
I really am. So a little bit of everybody. So I go from nursing home, like some of the largest amount of work I'm doing right now is this amazing resilience grant that Johns Hopkins has. And it is designed to help employees of nursing homes sort of bounce back, sort of post-COVID. And we give them the Lego bricks. And it's so funny. I get 30 minutes. I go from floor to floor to floor to floor, so they don't have to go to some big stuffy conference room. We go to where they are, right? They come to some little activity room or the table by the elevator, whatever it is on that floor. They all gather, and we spend 20 minutes, building a couple of things and then debriefing and telling the stories of what we built. And they walk away with some tools, knowing if one of your favorite patients dies, you can go and build something at your desk. And the CEO was like, "I don't know what we paid you, but this was amazing. I see people building all the time." He literally, I thought something was wrong. He was chasing us down the hall. The lady that I do the work for with Johns Hopkins, she was with me. And we were supposed to do five sessions, but the word got out. You gotta go see that Lego lady, the Lego lady. And so we did two sessions on at the end of the day, that more than I had intended. And but it was so worth it. So nursing homes, memory care communities, both staff and caregivers, and then memory cafes where they build together. And so the theme, there are four parts to Lego Serious Play. You give them a task, everybody agrees to build, everybody shares the story of what they built, and then there's a reflection. Well, I love how Lori pointed out in her build how fascinated it was to see the different colors in the Grand Canyon, whereas Betty and Bob told of their wonderful cruise to the Greek Isles. And so, you're asking them about, so you're looking at how everybody found joy in different places. So you, as the facilitator, it's my job to sort of highlight the connections that were made, much like you said, Lori, if you want to connect this with this with this with this, and we're all different, but look at what we created as a team kind of thing. Sometimes it's for team building if I'm working with staffs. Sometimes they want to create their strategic plan, which I can also help them do with Lego bricks. That is a beautiful process to watch unfold. So, for example, when Homestead was acquired, I guess is the term, by Honor, the technology company, I went to do a huge team building thing for them where the franchise owners were separated and they were all mixed together, and we did this huge team building thing about their missions and go. It was a phenomenal, and everybody wrote, we weren't happy with the assigned seating, but it was the best thing we ever could have done. We learned so much about how the other franchises operated that we wouldn't learn sitting with the people that we knew. It was probably one of the best things I've ever done. And so, new strategic plans, new mission, two companies merging and getting to know each other. And so I designed the questions based on what their goal is to accomplish. So if I'm going to Sunrise Senior Living, for example, and they want to, build stronger families, then, build your favorite vacation that you took together. When I did that one at a Sunrise Senior Living in Silver Spring, Maryland, we had a 93-year-old building with her niece and her niece's husband. And 15 years prior to that day, they had been on a cruise. And during the build of this cruise ship that they were building, the aunt starts doing this in the chair. And I'm thinking, oh, she must need to use the restroom. Maybe we take a break. No, she did not need to use the restroom. She was remembering line dancing on the cruise ship. And then she starts talking, and people are running and jumping and crying. And I'm not sure what's happening. And then she says, Auntie, Auntie, oh my gosh, you remember the cruise? And Auntie says, of course I remember it. And niece says, Auntie, you never talk about it. And Auntie says, you never ask me.
Yep, that's our problem. We don't ask. And that's one of the things that I
Still.
talked about, the task, the build, the share, and the reflection.
Yep, share.
Like the key is the reflection, because that is saying
It is.
I was heard.
Yes, and you can go around the room and do that. And one of the things that I definitely want to share is that I can do in groups is that we also do this isn't what is called an individual model. I have one, you have one, they have one, they have one. What is very cool for organizations to do is, and even some family support groups do this, I get them to build a shared model. So if we were building home, which I ask most memory care community leadership to build, what is your definition of home? And you build it. So then, after we all tell our story, I ask you to take the most important piece of home off of your model. Then we go to a totally separate table. Now we all build a joint definition of home. You don't change my definition, I don't change yours. But when we go around and share the story of our shared model, we include what everybody's definition was. And that way you really feel heard. I did a thing at the United Way years ago, and they put it in a glass thing that as soon as the elevator opens, that's what you see. That thing is still in there, their shared model of their mission. And so a lot of times, and everybody, and one, the funniest thing that happened in that is that one lady's child got sick at school. She had to go pick him up. She left her piece with the man sitting next to her. She said, you put my piece on there. And so she called from the car to make sure he had put her piece. And then he had to send her a picture to show her where his piece was. She said, of all the days my child to get sick, she was really upset. But she survived it and her piece was in there and she was happy. But people take it seriously. And so I love helping people build either their new goal for the memory care place, or if it's a continuing care community and they're adding a new place or whatever the change or addition might be, I get them ready for that by designing questions that will create buy-in or whatever it is they're trying to create with the questions. But really, with people with dementia, I'm just trying to see what's still in there. So most of the questions are just around fun. You know, build your favorite childhood memory. And sometimes family members have to call each other to say, did this really happen? And they're like, yeah. Oh, who told you that story? Like, oh, she built it. And so you're like, oh my God. So it's been 60 years and you have never heard that story. So my biggest goal as the facilitator is to find out what is the number one thing you want to accomplish. If you just want to have fun, we're gonna have a ball. And some of the things I'm doing now is helping family members create little puzzles. And so, you know, you go to those things called sip and paint. And so, but my pictures always turn out ugly. But I am now doing these sessions where family members create little puzzles. You can see as you turn them, the designs are vastly different no matter how you turn the pieces. So, again, there's no right or wrong way to do them. And so they go home with an activity they can do with their loved ones instead of some paint and sip thing you just put on the wall and you throw it away or whatever you do. And so I'm trying to help families build strategies that they can use long after the event, you know, is over. And so we build memory games. This is a good example of a memory game. They get 10, five sets of these, and there's a matching pair. So if you turn it over and then you turn them over like you do with cards and try to find the matches in the memory game. So there are all kinds of designs. As you can see, this is a these two match and these two match. And so the designs are amazing. So people say, well, what works in your brain for you to design all these things? And I just really, I guess it was that creativity from when I was five that has since, you know, kind of just blown up and allowed me to do other things to families. And I listen to, you talk about listening, I listen to what the users want. And one of the things somebody asked me was, could I build larger ones? So these two, you know, these ones are huge. And again, no right or wrong way to this. Men really like this one because it reminds them of an electrical circuits kind of thing. And so it has four pieces, but they're double the size of my smaller ones. So I've been trying to provide strategies opportunities for folks to not only come up with their own themes for the fun that they want to have. And it's not something you have to spend a ton of money on anything. You can get 10 bricks and be happy. And so I first thing I tell people, you can raise a hand, what set should I buy? Like, don't go buy a lot of stuff. Start at the dollar store. At the end of the end caps, most dollar stores, they got a little bag of bricks. You don't have to just build what's on the outside of the cover, little motorcycle. That was one of the ones I saw at my dollar store. And you just go home and you do the same thing. You give them a little task and see what they can build and the story they tell. If they ain't like it, just spend a dollar. What can it hurt? But if you're a lot of activity directors, I will say, just go to Target or Walmart or Amazon and get a classic box, and then put them in little different cups around the table and call everybody together and give them a task and see what happens. And so I guess probably the greatest news, because people say, Loretta, you can't be everywhere. How can we help more people?
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-494-8310. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-494-8310. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-494-8310.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I get that from a lot of leaders. And starting this past, I guess, December it was, I started doing training other facilitators. So now there can be a lot of Loretta's running around. So yeah, that's pretty cool. So Park Central in Amarillo, Texas, they were my first crew. And I had gone there for 3.5 days. I worked with every single facet of their amazing community. And four of them were in that class and they have all already done their first set of classes with either their residents or they work with a lot of kids that they feed breakfast to and some other of their partners in their Amarillo, Texas community. So I'm so proud of them. And in my second class, some of whom were from Hopkins and then a pastor from a church in Baltimore where we held the class, they've all done their first session too. So I'm really, 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 really excited about that. So now there's people, and I designed that my class especially for people who work in this field, aging, dementia, activity directors, memory care staffs, all these kinds of folks. And so I spoke something called Navigating Dementia on Friday, and three people have reached out to me already about taking the class and, working with the people in their own communities. So that's really such a great, bit of news, because that means that they're going to be a whole lot of other people, bringing joy to folks too. And that would make my mom really happy. So that's a cool thing.
Very cool. Now, the puzzle pieces, are those part of your inspirational kits that people can purchase from you?
So the inspiration kits are primarily just a bag of bricks. What is in that kit is so cool. There is a piece that spins around. That's kind of cool. They get two mini figures in that bag and 47 other pieces. It allows them to, and has a little plate very similar to this. This is what they call it. Anything that's flat is called a plate. So it has a plate in it as well. They can build up or out or however they want to do it. And so those 47 pieces. The puzzle pieces, they can buy individual puzzles on the website, but if they wanted to do a class with where they make these, they can just take home whatever it is that they built. Or I can show them, which I'm doing in a couple of weeks, I can show them how to do their own as an activity within their own communities, memory care or assisted living. And that's a lot of fun too. So a lot of things to do out there. And I always say, tell people to, look on Pinterest and see some of these crazy, patterns. People say, you should put that on, Pinterest. And so I sat down yesterday and made four new puzzles, and the girl that replicates everything for me, Christina Lopez, she always says, I don't know how your brain works, but it's pretty good. So
well, Well, this has just been so much fun. We've talked about, you know, the emotional impact. I think
yes,
the person who dissolves, yeah. But actually those participating in the group or those even overlooking. And then it has that ripple effect out to more family members,
yes,
and or staff as that conversation yes. of, oh my gosh, it gave them a spark. You know, we've never heard them talk, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
All of those types of things.
And they cried too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's the most amazing. The sponsor, one of the sponsors told me, you know, she had paid for my event and she went there and, you know, we were doing it. She said, Loretta, I paid for a lot of these things. She said, my only complaint about this, she said, you need some Lego Kleenex on these tables. Because some of the stories that people tell are powerful. And I was like, yeah, I guess I should say, you know, bring Kleenex. I do tell people, you know, this is a safe space. It's okay to feel whatever, you know, you want to feel. And, you know, just some of the looks on people's faces, like, you know, it's just like, so they can't believe they built that or they told that story or, you know, so it's just a lot of joy, but a lot of, you know, emotion too. And some of them, caregivers in particular, you know, they say exactly what they're thinking, but much like what you do in a support group, you just don't judge whatever they say. When this lady took a box and put her little Lego person in it and all you could see was the top of the little person's head, and she says, I feel like as a caregiver, I'm being buried alive. And you could see there were 22 people in the room and 15, 16 or so online. And nobody moved for a minute. And you knew there were a lot of men online because they didn't want to leave their wives at home. And you could see the looks on their faces was like, mm-hmm, I feel like that too. And like, wow, she actually got up and said that. And she didn't want to be there in the first place. Somebody strongly suggested that she come. So she came and she said at the end, I didn't want to be here, but I'm so glad I came. Because what she learned, she said she's really mean to her husband. She did, this wasn't the life she wanted. They were supposed to be doing traveling in retirement. Now she's stuck at home doing this stuff. But then she learned around the room. One lady was taking care of both her parents and her disabled brother, who the parents used to take care of. So she got three people. So the other lady was like, wow, I'm going to just shut up because I only got one person. You know, so her whole attitude, like, wow, other people don't got it worse than me. So, you know, you can say whatever you want. And somebody got up and gave, right when I let it sit there for a minute. And right when I was getting ready to say something, the lady sitting next to her got up and gave her this big hug. I didn't need to say a word. I just let it go. I let it sit right there. And then afterwards, though, the thing that you walk away with, I have them build. You can, that they were building their biggest challenge. And that's what she built. Then I come back with build a strategy that you want to try to use to overcome that challenge. And they did that. So I try to always end on a positive. I don't sugarcoat how nasty this disease is. I ask people to build how you're going to cope on really ugly caregiving days. Build a strategy that's a, you know, I'm going to go out. I'm going to call Lori and see if Lori will go for a walk with me. Yay. You know, and then they go over and it's amazing what they come up with. Because I don't want to leave you feeling woe is me. I want you to leave empowered. So I have them build their superpower or their whatever. So I will go and get the negative, but I'm going to try to leave you on a positive scent. Like, you got this. And then have you build something that's a lot more positive. But people learn a lot about themselves listening to the stories of other people. Sometimes I don't have to say a word.
Well, I think it's because, I bring a movie around called A Timeless Love. And it's yeah. kind of like the Legos. It reminds me of that, where it surprises yes. people what they learn. And they have to emotionally mm-hmm. download everything that they're seeing on the screen. And then we do a talk back. And then
yes, ma'am.
Share their stories.
Yeah.
And one of the most powerful things is to not feel alone and to feel understood. So, you know, yes. what you're talking about, that woman, no one like stood up and said, you can't say mm-hmm. that. You can't.
Because that's exactly right. Because
everyone goes through this whole realm of emotions. And they've all been there.
And that's what she learned.
One time mm-hmm. or another. And it's okay to speak. But you have to
feel it is.
Like you're in a safe place to speak out. And mm-hmm. that's what's so beautiful about what you're doing. You know, it's life changing. And so yeah. I can't thank you enough for spending time with us today, Loretta. As always, this has been a blast. I've learned so much and I'm even more in awe of you than I was before, which I did think was
possible. We have to do it. I will come to you. If you do any of your support groups in person, I will come and we will do it in your support group.
Oh my gosh, they would all love that. They would absolutely love that.
Where am I coming? I'm coming to Milwaukee, Minneapolis, somewhere in Minnesota. I'll be in the little up your way somewhere in the next few months. So yeah, we can make it happen.
Yeah, let me know for sure on that. And again, for our audience, I always ask you to be a giver of hope. Like, click, and share, not because I'm chasing the numbers. That is so not me. It's because you have people in your sphere that need to hear Loretta's message. They need to be empowered and open the door that there are lots of different alternatives out there and supports that people yes. can tap into, but they don't know about them. And so
right.
help spread that word. It's mm-hmm. critical. This is survival mode, you know, and when you have a team of people, when you learn tools, when you feel you belong, and when you feel you've been heard, that makes, I don't care who you are in this world, it makes you feel like you're part of a community and you belong.
It does.
We've gotten so disconnected. So this is powerful. I loved when you talked about, you know, I think it was at Johns Hopkins when you were going to do so many and then you ended up adding two more programs on because the word spread, because it's different and it isn't the same old thing.
Yeah. It was so cool.
Yeah. People want something new. They want something mm-hmm. creative. They want something that's, I think, more flexible too in terms
yes.
of.
Flexible is a great word. Yeah.
So again, you can connect with Loretta at her website, which yeah. is LorettaVaney.com. You can email her. You can find her on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And again, if she comes to your area, make sure you show up because she'll change your life. So thank you again, Loretta. Appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Bye now, everyone.
This was awesome.
Hi, everyone. This is Meredith from the Senior Fitness with Meredith podcast, where I discuss all things for seniors, from fitness, your health and wellness journeys, how to be all over strong and beyond. I also have my mini podcast called Motivation with Meredith. It's a great, quick, motivational pick-me-up for your days. Join me. Listen now. Search for Senior Fitness with Meredith on your favorite podcast platform.